Hey, hey. What's up, everybody? Man, that was kind of weak. That was weak sauce. What's up, everybody? Much better. Hey, I want to kind of emphasize or correct something that Daniel said earlier. He said a couple of times that you guys are all college age. We've just been in college for a long time is all. I'm well beyond, unless I'm getting like a master's on top of my doctorate, on top of my master's. So that's been a long time. So if you've been in college for a long time like me, you understand what I'm saying. So anyway, hey, so we're so glad you guys are here with us this morning. We're continuing our series called Romans chapter 12. And so what we've done, and my thought process going into this was that, man, there's just so much really good content in Romans chapter 12. We're going to break it down into about 4 weeks worth of, you know, topics, discussions, and kind of break the verses down like that. And so I got into what I was going to talk about this week, and it was so good. Like, we're not getting any further than like a verse or two, maybe, because it's just like, bam, right? You ever read some of that stuff? You ever read that stuff that it like kicks you in the teeth? I don't know how else to say it, but it's just like, golly, that's so good. And then usually when I read stuff like that, I'm like, I'm a terrible person. Do you ever do that? All right, I'm glad I'm alone in that. I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. So the content that we're covering today is not as much as I originally intended, but it's too good just to gloss over it really quickly and not think about what it says and not really break down how it applies to us. Because here's the deal, man, we could get up here and we could talk for 30 minutes and you could leave and it has no bearing on your life, but that's a waste of time. That's stupid. Let's talk about it. Let's figure out how it's going to apply to us when we wake up mañana and we apply it to our lives, because that's what really matters. So kind of just to give you the backstory, the first week we talked about Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. And this is what worship is for us, to be a living sacrifice. And what's so cool about that, the place we start with that, is just to remember that worship and our lives being a living sacrifice is simply a response to the mercies of God. Like, if you try to live the Christian life apart from that understanding, that this life that you're trying to live in response to what God has done for you, like, if you try to do that in your own strength, you're going to end up in a bad place, and you're going to end up burned out, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You don't burn out, right? Maybe, I don't know, because you can't burn out if you were never on fire. So at any rate, that's what we talked about the first week. And then last week, we talked about how we're interdependent. Like, we need each other. Like, you've got gifts and abilities and talents and purpose that I don't have. And so we're like cogs in the wheel, you know. You guys realize that, like, your car don't go anywhere. You could have this massive motor in your car, like a ginormous motor with 1,000 horsepower that just sounds awesome, vroom, vroom, right? But if you don't have gears, it ain't going anywhere, because, you know, all that power's got to be sent to somewhere, and you've got gears in the back or some of the front wheel drives, whatever. You get what I'm saying, right? So the gears are what make it go. And if those gears weren't different, if they weren't offset, it wouldn't go anywhere. And so it's the difference. They're called differentials, by the way. That's interesting, isn't it? So it's the difference that makes the difference. And so we're different, and because we're different, we can make a difference. I thought it was good. So this week is kind of a continuation of what we talked about last week, how obviously we believe that we're created for relationships, we're interdependent, we're interconnected, and if that's going to happen, like if you're going to be in a relationship, if you're going to have friendships, if you're going to be in kind of accountability partnerships or whatever you want to call it, any kind of relationship, you just got to know there are some things that you have to have in those relationships to make them work. Right? Because if you are foolish enough to think that, oh, we're friends, we're going to be friends for the rest of our lives, you're an idiot. If you are foolish enough to think that, oh, you know, we're in love, he's cute, it's going to work, it's going to be awesome, you're an idiot, right? There are some things that you have to apply to that relationship to make that relationship work. And so Paul kind of, he gives us some of these, and we're going to break them down kind of into four different sections. But before we get into that, I thought it was really interesting. So let's just kind of look at this, the progression here. Paul tells us what worship is and what our lives are supposed to look like. He tells us that we're all interdependent and we work together. And if we work together, together, everyone achieves more, right? So he tells us that. And then he gives us some principles in order for our relationships to be all that they can be. Before we get into that, we're going to kind of work in reverse order. So if you go down past that just a little bit, he tells us how our relationship with God should be and how important that is. And I'm just convinced, if you look at the context and the way this thing flows out, he understands and he's reminding us that our relationship with God is the first and foremost. It's a priority. If you want your earthly relationships to work, then you need to get that relationship right. And so if you guys have ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard somebody talk about, there's this passage in Ecclesiastes where it says that a three-string cord is not easily broken. It talks about if somebody's walking in the wilderness and they fall down on their own, they're in trouble. But if they've got somebody with them, then they're good. They're safe, right? And then it says after that that a three-string cord is not easily broken. And there's only two people that he was talking about. What's the third string? God, our relationship with God. And so it's just a really easy, simple equation. What comes in goes out. If you've got this going on, you understand grace, you give grace. You understand forgiveness, you give forgiveness, right? You understand love, then you give love. You understand patience. Everybody with children, let me hear you. Right? You understand patience because God knows how patient he is with us. And so we give patience. So our strength, the strength of our earthly relationships is really, it's contingent on the strength of our relationship with God. And you guys, I think, are smart enough to see that. So if you look at Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, it says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep your relationship with God passionate. Keep the love there. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. All of these are kind of parts and aspects of our relationship with God. And so he tells us, we're going to look at verse 9 and 10 today, but he tells us about all the things that we should do kind of in relation to our relationships. And then after that, he was like, you got to keep your relationship with God hot. You got to keep it going. And in order for your earthly relationships to work, you got to get that one right. So I thought that was interesting. And we're going to spend more time on that next week. Before we do, let's talk about Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And it's the title, if you guys are taking notes or you like titles, it's called It's About Time. So if you have a timepiece on, look at your timepiece. Don't look at the time because I don't want you guys focused on anything else, right? Everybody's like, because, dude, you guys do. Man, about 11:55, everybody's like, brother, you better start wrapping it up. If you guys seen those cartoons where you look at somebody and they look like a T-bone or a hot dog or some of y'all are looking at me like that, you start salivating. I'm like, and Jesus said, amen, pray, right? So that's the topic or the title for today is it's about time. And there's kind of a double meaning there that we'll get into in a little bit. And I want you guys to know that, man, I make my best effort every single week to not sing, to not rap, because obviously I can't, right? To not do like the, right? Like no music because I'm musically untalented. There's no talent there with respect to music. So I try not to do any musical renditions of my own every single week. But I was thinking about this, and you guys have all heard the song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. Can any volunteers, you guys want to start singing that? I didn't think so. Good. And it's the only thing that there's just too little of, right? So you've heard that, and I think that that's true. The world could absolutely use more love. But I'm convinced that the greatest indicator of the fact that there's not enough love in the world is the fact that there's not enough byproducts of love in the world. Like, love is just this huge, grand idea that's really kind of intangible, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is. But the byproducts are a little more simple to pin down, and we're going to talk about some of those in a minute. So the point is just that I think that we can tell that the world needs more love based on the fact that the byproducts of love are absent in the world that we live in. And we'll make more sense of that in a minute. A lot of people think, for whatever reason, some people seem to think that gifts are love. Like, oh, I love you, so I will buy you all of the stuff. Stuff wears off. Like, go buy a new car, and 2 months later, you're kind of over it, right? Like, stuff wears off. Now, if you want to buy me a car, hey. My love language is actually gifts. Have you guys ever taken the love language test? Like, it's gifts. Man, I love, people buy me coffee and I'm like it endears me to them for the rest of our lives. They can treat me like crap and I still love them, man, because they bought me that one time they bought me coffee. Some people think that, and we live in the world, I get we live in a society like this. Some people think that love is passion, you know, and sex and all of these things. And we've got to be smart enough to realize that that's not love because all of that stuff fades. And when it fades, what's left? There better be commitment. There better be devotion. Love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. You don't feel love. You choose love. Because you're going to wake up some days, and she's going to wake up some days, and the feeling's probably more like, where is my frying pan? And so you better choose to be in love. You better not feel love. And so just the fact that it's absent in the world that we live in so many times, I think, is an indicator, like the byproducts are absent, is an indicator that love is absent. So Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is what we're going to talk about today and how it applies to us. It says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Isn't that good? And it's just like there's these short, succinct, powerful sentences. It's just like, bam, like jab, 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 right hook, and it knocks you out, right? So it's love must be sincere. And what's cool is like this can apply to every single relationship. Dude, if you're married, this applies to you. If you're dating, this applies to you. If you've got friends, this applies to you. If you're part of this community, this applies to you. And it's important to understand it because he just got through talking about how, you know, all of us have gifts and we all are part of the body. We're members of the body. So the guys at the morgues can identify the bodies. Little Giants. I grew up on 90s movies, man. I apologize. And so he's talking about us as members of the body and how we should relate to each other. This is not just, you know, husbands and wives or things of that sort. Love must be sincere. Jab. Hate what is evil. Jab. Cling to what is good. Jab. Be devoted to one another in love. Jab. And then the knockout blow. Honor one another above yourselves. Because every time I read that, I am like, I am a deplorable, despicable human being, right? Like, I'm not even close to that. And so we're going to talk about what all this means and how it applies to us. The first one is love must be sincere. Paul starts off with this little section kind of following his, you know, hey, all of you guys are interconnected and you're interdependent and you're all members of the same body. And then he goes right into love must be sincere. And I think it's important to remember, like kind of if you rewind a little bit to the first week and the first few verses of Romans chapter 12, he's like, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world. He's like, look, there is a way that the world works. Don't conform to that. And then he, just a little bit further, he says, love must be sincere. Could it be, is it possible that Paul's like, love is presented a certain way in the world that you live in? Don't conform to the patterns of the world. Love must be sincere. Love is not this, and love is not that, and whatever it is that the magazine tells you, and whatever it is that Facebook tells you, my God, if you're getting your information from Facebook, you're in trouble. Love is not this or that or whatever society presents to you. Love is sincere. Love, I love, there's one version that says that our love should be without hypocrisy. Like, that's how it reads, and I think, there's so many different versions. I'm going to make my own version, the NCV, the New Chris version. And it says, this version says, let love be without hypocrisy. And I think, man, if you just kind of, you boil that down to the basic fundamental understanding of that, it's like, don't do anything in your relationships, don't do anything to anybody that you're in a relationship with that you wouldn't want them to do to you, because that would be hypocritical. And this is like the most basic understanding of a relational, like the relational well-being is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't talk about people if you don't want them talking about you. Don't disrespect them if you don't want them disrespecting you. Don't be a hater if you don't want haters, right? Like, it's really simple. Let love be sincere. Let it be without hypocrisy. Don't get sucked into fake and faux romance, right? Because this is the world. I mean, we live in Magic Mike world and 50 Shades of Stupid world. And you get sucked into thinking that love is that. Come on, man. Like, we're smarter than that. Don't get sucked into that. Don't get sucked into that stupidity. Understand what love is. If it's not sincere, if it's not without hypocrisy, it's not love. It ain't love. Sweet love. Don't get sucked into fake friends. Because, you know, this may be shocking to you. This may blow your mind. But there are some people in the world that don't want to be your friend. They only want to be friends with you for what you have to offer to them. And the second that you no longer offer the benefits that you offer, they don't really like you. So, you know, if you got money or you got, this is how it worked out when you were in high school. If somebody could drive before everybody else, all of a sudden he had friends. But then when everybody else got their license, homie ain't got any friends, right? Don't hang out with people like that. Hang out with people that love you for you. Hang out with people I love this. Don't hang out with people that just tolerate you. Hang out with people that celebrate you. There's a huge difference. And so anyway, don't get sucked into that. Settle for the real deal. Like, don't settle for the hypocritical relationship. Settle for the real relationships. Don't buy into kind of this false representation of what love is. Don't conform to that. Be transformed into real and sincere love. That's the first one. The second one is this. It says to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. And that's a principle that could apply to every part of our lives, right? Like, I mean, you know, when it comes to what we see and how we act and our ethics and our morals and all of those things, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. That's a great principle, right? But I think we have to remember the context. He's talking about our relationships. And in our relationships, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. If it's bad for the relationship, hate it. If it's good for the relationship, cling to it. That seems so simple, right? But man, how many times do we mess that up? One version, it's really cool. One version reads this. I'm not as intelligent as sometimes this comes off, and there are other times where I'm more intelligent than the way things come off. There's somewhere in between. Just go with me, okay? So one version actually reads, to abhor what is evil. Hate what is evil. Abhor what is evil. And so I always try to figure out what the Greek word is in which it's kind of translated, so you kind of get a better understanding of the language and all of those things. And so the word or the phrase to abhor what is evil, to hate what is evil, it means to be afraid of what is evil. Like, when's the last time that we were afraid of what was evil? We're clearly told to be afraid of what's evil. And so I think the idea is, man, just make sure that you're not allowing things into your relationship that are destructive. Be afraid of it. Like, be afraid of it and what it can do to your relationship. Hate it. Like, hate it. It's bad. It's no good, right? I think just understanding that is huge. Like, the kind of the level of intolerance that we should have for things that are destructive to our relationship. Now, that's not saying that you don't hang out or you don't have friends that aren't saved, that aren't Christians, and all of those things. There's a fine line. We don't support missionary dating, for example. Because I've seen this so many times, girls are like, oh, he's so cute, I can lead him to the Lord. And then next thing you know, she gone. Right? We're not saying that you shelter yourself and you live in kind of this monastical society where you're a monk. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, don't be an idiot. Like, don't be so, you know, just foolish to think that you can live with and associate with whoever you want, however much you want, and it's not going to affect your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says this. And I love the way that Paul sets this up. He's like, do not be deceived. Modern translation, don't be an idiot. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And so you don't just get to go hang out with who you want to hang out with all the time and think that it's not going to have an effect on your life. And I think there's a perfect balance to this, and his name is Jesus. Like, he was so good at balancing this. It says that Jesus was a friend of sinners. And I love, there's another kind of explanation. It was like, although he was nothing like them, they liked him. Right? He was different than them. He didn't have the same standards as they did. He didn't live the way that they did, but they liked him. They respected him. They appreciated him. But although he was a friend of sinners, who did he spend the lion's share of his time with? His disciples, the 12, and then the 3, and then obviously by himself with God, getting away to pray. Like, he did associate with people who were sinners and people who didn't have the same standards that he did, but that's not who he spent all of his time with. That was not his boys. That wasn't his posse. That wasn't his group, right? Like, you can do that and have people that you're trying to lead and influence and reach and love, but don't do it at the sake or at the expense of people who keep you strong and keep you grounded and keep you rooted, right? I think that's important. It seems like the younger you are, the harder it is for you to understand that. You have this 10-foot-tall, bulletproof mentality that you can do whatever you want, and it's not going to affect your life. And you were just, let me tell you like Paul did, don't be deceived. Don't be an idiot, right? So hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And I thought it was really cool, the word cling, it literally means to glue yourself to. Glue yourself to things that are good. Like if encouragement is good in your relationship, which I don't know any relationship that it wouldn't be good in, then man, make that a mainstay, a staple in your relationship. Choose to speak life instead of speaking death, because you're speaking one or the other. Like there's no in between, there's no middle ground, there's no gray area. You're either encouraging or you're discouraging. You're either building up and respecting or tearing down and disrespecting. So choose, cling to the good and hate what is evil. The third one. You guys thought you were getting off that easy. The third one is this. It says to be devoted to one another in love. And this is kind of one of the byproducts that we were talking about earlier. How many of you have seen relationships? Man, this is so funny. It's not funny, but it is kind of funny. I like making fun of people when they do stupid things. Anybody else? Don't tell me it's not true, because every YouTube video where people do stupid things, they have like millions and squillions of views. So I know you're watching it, and I know you're laughing about it, right? And so you see these people that are just madly in love, right? Madly in love. And then like 2 weeks later, what had happened was they're not together anymore for whatever reason. So were they really in love? Because there was obviously no commitment. There was no devotion to one another. And that's one of the byproducts, like we talked about. If there's really love, then there's devotion, there's commitment, there's willingness to look past, you know, the faults and flaws of others and kind of just being willing to work through all of that stuff. People in the world that we live in, like, they're committed as long as there's something in it for them. They're devoted as long as they get something out of the relationship. Like, it's just funny how that works, isn't it? And it's kind of cool if you go back to the root, kind of the origins of the word. The word devotion is the Greek word, I'll probably butcher this, it's philostorgos. Sounds really cool, huh? Yeah, good, I thought so. And so the word devotion, it's actually talking about the devotion that a parent has to their child, right? So let your love be full of devotion like a father or a mother loves their kid. And so this is, just think about it. How many times as a kid did you disappoint your parents? Probably a lot. If you're anything like me, it was a daily occurrence, right? And you guys, y'all are so humble this morning and so spiritual and never make mistakes. And you're obviously terrible liars too, right? And so our parents never gave up on us. They never quit loving us. Even though we messed up and even though we failed to meet their expectations, they didn't quit loving us and they didn't quit being devoted to us. And so Paul's like, hey, in your relationships with each other, in your friendships, be devoted. Be devoted with the kind of love that a mother has for her son. Like that never stops, that never quits, that even if they fail to meet your expectations, you still love them. Do with that what you want. Because I think if we're honest, we could all read that, kind of take our kicking in the pants and go out and change our lives and the world would be so much better for it, right? Like that's so much the jab. And so our mantra essentially should be this. It's like, hey, man, you frustrate me sometimes. Sometimes Shelly knows sign language. Isn't the getting on my nerves like something like this? What is it? Wow. Pressure bust a pipe. She couldn't handle the pressure. It's something like this. Oh, yeah, like you're getting on my nerves. Like sometimes, you know what? You're going to get on my nerves. You're going to frustrate me, and I'm going to frustrate you, and I'm going to get on your nerves. But I'm going to be devoted enough to you to look past that. And I'm not just me and you, but I mean, like take a gander at everyone in the room and the people. No ribbing, right? Because, you know, this is a great time for wives to, you hear what he said, right? Because that's how you always see the wife, like, ribbing the husband. Just, it is what it is, right? You may frustrate me, but I'm devoted to you. You may irritate me, but I'm devoted to you. You may get on my nerves. I'm going to leave for just a little bit and go cool off and come back and be devoted to you, right? That's what that means, man. Be devoted to one another in love. When you fail to meet my expectations, I'm still going to love you. Be devoted to one another in love. And this is where I really wanted to get to today. All that other stuff is important. It's awesome. But I think this is where we want to spend the lion's share of our emphasis today. And it says to honor one another above yourselves. I read, there are different versions, different verses. Like if you go to Philippians, it says to in honor, give preference to one another. It says to esteem others higher than yourself. And I just, you know, I read those and I'm like, God, I've got some work to do, right? There are days where maybe I do a little better, but then there are a lot of days where I'm like, no, didn't happen. Today was more about me than it was about you for me, right? Am I the only one? You can give me a, yeah, bro, or preacher or something, you know? But honor is another byproduct of love. Like if you love somebody, then you'll choose to honor them. And honor, you know, all it means, this is what it means, kind of the basic definition of honor is to place value on something or somebody. And so when you honor them, all you're saying is that I value you this much. I value you enough to not talk down to you. I value you enough to give you respect, even if I don't necessarily think you deserve my respect at this particular moment in time. I still honor you. And what's so cool is that when we choose to honor, we don't do it based on their honorability. We do it based on our honorability. Like the fact that we are honorable, so we choose to honor other people. Because if you are waiting for other people to become honorable, you may never have the chance to honor them. But if you honor them when they're not honorable, you may lead them to a place of honorability, right? So let me give you an example. A guy named Stephen Furtick taught a series about relationships and husbands and wives and all that stuff in the way that we speak to each other. And it was so good. And he was talking to the wives and he was like, ladies, listen to this. Inside of your man, every single man, there is a prince and there is a punk. And the one that you speak to is the one that's going to come out. There's a prince and there's a punk. If you're talking to the punk and you're talking down to him and you're disrespecting, the punk's going to come out. But if you talk to him as a prince, even if he's not there just yet, like he's making progress, and I'm just convinced that we can talk to people kind of above where they're at, like leading them to where they need to be, where we hope that they go. If you honor somebody, you're just placing that kind of value. You know, truthfully, you may be worth 2 cents, but I'm going to talk to you like you're worth a nickel. Right? And then when they're worth a nickel, we're going to talk to them like they're worth a dime, because then they're going to be worth a dime. And when they're worth a dime, we're going to talk to them like they're worth a quarter. Because then we got 2 quarters to work with. 50 cent ain't got nothing on us. Right? Honor people, man. Don't. Because here's the deal. If we talk to you like you deserve to be talked to sometimes, you wouldn't like it very much. Same thing. I understand. I know this one really well. If I got communicated to the way that I deserve to be communicated to sometimes, it would not be pretty. It sounds like high school all over again. Coaches and... Right? Some of you know. But just talk to people the way that you think, the value that you place on them. Talk to them like that. Not necessarily what they're actually worth, but what you believe that they're worth based on the fact. And here's the deal. Something's only worth what somebody was willing to pay for it. And Jesus apparently believed in every one of us enough that he gave his life for us. He said, you were bought at a price, the price being the life of his son, Jesus. That's how much they're worth. Talk to them like that. And so honor one another above yourselves. And so I think kind of if you understand the way this reads in the original language, it may help. Because if, just think about it, man, if every one of our relationships had honor, where we honored one another above ourselves, there would never be any conflict. Like, or very short-lived. It's like, have you guys seen, I love that there's a commercial, I think it's like a Marriott commercial or something, where it's these two guys that work at the hotel and they're like outdoing each other and serving each other. Like one's like, oh, don't worry, I took the time to vacuum your area. And while he's doing that, he's like, it's okay, I cooked you waffles, you know. They're serving each other. And so if we honored each other above each other, honored one another above ourselves, it's like nothing wrong could ever happen. Like even if you did something stupid, they've already forgiven you and they're doing something awesome in return, right? Which, man, wouldn't that be awesome? But we don't live there. That's just not where, that's not where the world is, right? But if it was, that would be awesome. I want you to understand kind of what the way this reads and the way this plays out for us. If you go back to the one of the other versions, it says to give preference to one another in honor. So instead of saying honor one another above yourself, it says to give preference to one another in honor. And if you look at the Greek language and kind of the way that means or plays out, it says this. It says to go before as a leader and to show the way. Like you show the way of honor. You show them what honor looks like. And what's so fascinating about that is that you choose to do it whether they deserve it or not, because you've got to go before and show the way. You show them what honor looks like. I'll do my best to show you what honor looks like. Even if you're not honorable, I'm going to go before and show the way and show you what honor looks like. I'm going to place value on you. I'm going to talk to you like you're worth this, even if you're worth just a little bit less. Because you guys have obviously never struggled with that. You guys are killing me this morning. Just killing me. We don't honor people because they're honorable. We honor them because we are honorable. And so, and another way this plays out, like when you make mistakes, because you make mistakes. When I mess up, you tell them, or you kind of, in this conversation goes on. When I mess up, when, not if, when I mess up, I'm going to go before and show the way. I'm gonna take the lead on this and show you honor by coming to you and asking you to forgive me for whatever stupid thing it is that I did. Like honor is, it's all inclusive. It's you take the initiative, you take the lead, you show them respect before they're respectable. When you make a mistake, you don't wait for them to come to you and blow up in your face and then you work it all out. You go to them and you say, hey, dude, made a mistake. My bad. I love you this much. And because I love you this much, I'm sorry for what it is that I did. You've got to take the lead on honor. Don't wait for honor to happen. Create honor. That's honor. And I just believe that it's about time for some of that, right? Could you imagine? I mean, just, man, just think. What would the world look like? Not just, you know, the world. What would our world look like? The places that you go on a regular basis, your workplace, your schools, your friends, your social clubs, whatever they are, you know, the social networks that you have. What would it look like if they were full of honor? Because it's about time for some of that, right? Couldn't you imagine what it would be like if we honored people and people honored us above where we're at and we talked up to people and not down to people? I stole this idea from another guy. You guys know we are thieves and we are proud of it, right? And he says to honor up, honor down, honor all the way around. Like, so if you've got people in position of authority above you, honor them. If you've ever had a bad boss, you know how hard that is, right? But you honor them not because they are honorable, but because you are honorable. Honor down. If you've got people in, you know, kind of a position under you and you are the authority, don't be a jerk. Nobody likes a jerk, right? Don't be a dork boss who tries to make people subservient to you. Honor them. Honor down. And then honor all the way around, like people that are kind of on the same plane as you, lateral or whatever, however you choose to say that. Honor. Just honor. 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 It's about time for honor. And what's so interesting about the word honor is that the Greek word is pronounced timei, T-E-E apostrophe M-A-Y, timei. But could you believe how it was spelled? T-I. We need, where's Vanna White? We need Wheel of Fortune, right? T-I-M-E. That's how you spell honor in the Greek. Like, that's a tattoo waiting to happen, right? That's how you spell honor in the Greek. It's T-I-M-E. And it's about time for some time. It's about time for honor. It's time for us. Stop waiting on people to be honorable. Honor them in spite of their lack of honorability. You don't honor because they're honorable. You honor because you're honorable. Respect people, even if they're not respectful. Man, I know how hard this is because, like, you know, some of us play basketball together. And sometimes you are not honorable. But I choose to honor you, right? And you've all, like, been involved with an activity with that one person, right? There's always that one dude Or that one girl that just takes everything a little too seriously. And we don't honor them because they're honorable. We honor them because we're honorable, right? Or you got that one employee, that one guy at work. You guys know what I'm talking about, man. This is real life stuff. Like that person, ooh, you want to lay hands on them in Jesus' name. Love them. You honor them. Because, I mean, just think about what did Jesus do for us? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While you were not honorable, he valued you enough to honor you with his life. So when we leave this place, it's about time for some team A. It's time for some honor. And this, what's beautiful, you want to know where to start? Start at home. I don't give a crap what you do at work. You can be this fake person and have all these people fooled that you're super nice and you honor people. But if you treat your spouse like crap and you treat your kids like crap, it's worthless. Worthless. Get it right at home. Honor at home. Then it's just a natural byproduct of the love of God that's in you, and it'll go with you wherever you go. So it's about time for some honor. Start at home and let honor permeate your household, and then it'll take over kind of the world that you live in. It's time for that. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you so, so incredibly much. You're so much better to us than we deserve. God, you give and you give and you give, and we have so, so little to offer in return, God, if we just really look at it. But God, what we do have, we give back to you, God, that as a response of your mercies, God, our lives are a living sacrifice, and it's worship to you. God, I pray that when we leave this place, God, that we will find a way to incorporate this idea of honor into our lives. God, that we'll honor our spouses, we'll honor our children, we're going to honor our friends, we're going to honor our coworkers and our people that we go to school with, every person we come in contact with. God, help us to see them, not as we want to see them, but as you see them, as valuable, as people that matter to you, not based on the benefit that we can receive from them, but based on the value that you've placed on their lives. God, help us to honor them as such, to treat them as such, to be respectable, even if they're not necessarily respectable, to show love, even if they're not coming across as loving. God, I pray that you would help us to do this, to model what you've done for us. God, you gave and you gave and you gave. We ask this stuff in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.